From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler, and I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and this is a show where every week we deal with mental health issues, and from a more holistic perspective, which means balance in body, mind, and spirit. And the show each week gets into all sorts of things, whether it has to do with clinical issues around mental health or whether it has to do with more community-based issues. This is a live show. It's a call-in show. So if, when we get my guests online, you have some questions or comments, would like to add some thoughts to our discussion today, then the line in Phoenix is 480-949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. Excuse me. And if you call, and if you're listening over the internet from outside the Phoenix area, as I know some of you are, because I get emails from you guys and women, it's the same number. It's a toll call. Very inexpensive, though, so please feel free to call in. It's 480-949-1310. Now, if you have been a regular listener to the show, you know a couple of weeks ago it was Gay Pride in the Phoenix area, and I did the show remotely from Pookie's Cafe dealing with what Gay Pride really is and why we're celebrating it and all that good stuff. And while I was at Gay Pride, I got wind of the fact that there is a movement afoot in the Phoenix area to do something that I think is extremely important in any community, and that is the beginnings of organization to start a gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community center to support the community, and they're calling it One Voice. And I was actually rather impressed, number one, because it's a community-based effort, and number two, because there is actually a city councilman who is working very hard at raising consciousness about the center and also trying to get community support from the city council and possibly, I assume, funding from within the city, and I really applaud their efforts. So I've invited all of them on the show today. So we're going to have kind of like a panel discussion, which I don't do very often. And because we have so many people online right now, I just forewarn all of you and beg your indulgence in case we have some technical difficulties along the way. So my guests today are two individuals that are spearheading it from the community perspective, who is Rocco Menegual and John Quinn. And the councilman who's with us today is from the 4th District in Phoenix, Tom Simplot. And so, guys, are you all there?
Yep.
Yes.
So let's start with Rocco and John.
Yeah, let's do it real quick. John will be online in just a moment.
Oh, okay. Then, Rocco, let's start with you.
Okay.
You are an architect in the Phoenix area, correct?
Yeah, correct.
And how did you get involved? I know you're not originally from the Phoenix area, but actually from the New York City area.
Actually, I'm from the other side of New York, from Rochester.
Ah, Rochester, that's right.
As far as
how did you and John get involved in this? What was your motivation behind all this?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said, how did you and John get involved with starting this center, and what's your motivation behind it?
Basically, we sort of came upon each other. I guess you'd say we both had thought of it, had this idea pretty much at the same time, and we were kind of talking to everybody we could talk to about it. And John had written an article in a local publication in Phoenix and in Arizona. And I responded to that article. He basically was sort of a challenge to Phoenix to, you know, he was saying, you know, we need this, and I'm willing to put some of my put forth some of my money and my effort into it, and I'm challenging the rest of you, the rest of the population and the public to get involved. And I responded to that, and we had talked a lot in the meantime, and it sort of blossomed from there, and we decided to team up and partner with our efforts, and we just went from there. I guess my personal motivation behind it is basically to give back to the gay and lesbian community.
Rocco, can you speak a little more directly into your phone?
Okay, is that better?
That's better. Thank you.
All right. My motivation behind it is that I really feel the need for this, and also to give back to the gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender community of Phoenix itself. I really believe that this community center is very important for us, especially right now during the social political climate. And I really do, and I personally believe that this is actually going to be a really big benefit to the population of Phoenix as a whole, but and also, you know, to Arizona, to the population that resides in Arizona, and therefore the country.
Very good, John. You on? Okay, we don't have John on yet. So Rocco, when you started this, I think I told you when we talked this week that when I did the show from Pookie's on Gay Pride, I actually had one caller, a woman named Donna, who I would identify as one of the elders of the community. She told me that back in the 70s, there was an effort that she was involved with in terms of getting a community center like this started back then. And the group that were trying to do it ran into such roadblocks and such headaches that they just kind of backed off. So I'm hoping maybe Donna's listening today, and if she's not already involved with you, she might give a call and offer their expertise. Has it been, what is the history of trying to get a center like this together? Have there been others along the way, or what kind of difficulties are you finding with it?
To our understanding, there have been at least a couple other community centers that were existing for a certain period of time. We've researched some of those, and we've come across a lot of people who were involved in the last ones, and who are willing to give, you know, their help and support along the way. We've actually, as amazing as it may seem, we've come across with like a lot of support and a lot of. We really haven't reached a lot of major roadblocks that we haven't been able to sort of push through at this point. And the community center right now, as it stands, is pretty much it's in its infancy. You know, it's in the very, very beginning stages. So some of those roadblocks are yet to come. But as far as so far, I mean, we've had, I think, some of the larger roadblocks, just as a general sense. And I mean, this, I guess. Just in general, is that people, I think that the gay and lesbian community of Phoenix is sort of not as unified as some other cities in many different ways, and I think that that has been some of our stumbling block so far. It's been easy in some aspects to get people really motivated and really excited about it, and then in other aspects it's been very hard. There's a lot of reticence as to, you know, the benefits of a community center and why we would need this, and you know, it's sort of, I guess that's one of our major stumbling blocks right now.
Great. Well, I assume that also part of the stumbling blocks along the way, as in most infant organizations, is money and support from the political institutions in the area, and I think that's where we get into Tom and your efforts here. What got you involved in this, and you know, what's your motivation behind this?
Well, I guess I was here when at least one of the community centers was here, and that was the one located right down by Park Central off on 3rd Avenue, south of Osborne. And what I learned from that experience was that if we either don't have a deep well of money or a guaranteed stream of money or a commitment to actually build and own a structure, I believe we are doomed to failure, which is why we lost the other facility. It was at a time when, you know, if we could have just come up with enough money, we would have been able to buy a building for literally around $1 million or less, and it was in a perfect location.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't have the pockets deep enough to buy the building ourselves, and we lost it because it was simply a lease. So in addition to maybe some of the issues involved within our community about, you know, who gets this piece of the pie or who gets that or whatever, the bigger issue to me was we need a guaranteed source of funding that will ensure that we have that facility long term.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why when I was elected a year and a half ago to the Phoenix City Council, one of my goals was to help ensure that funding. And the way I see that is through the next bond election, which will be next March of 2006. It will be a $750 million bond election. The city will be asking the voters to approve about $250 million for building a downtown ASU campus.
Uh-huh.
The city will be asking voters to approve probably another $200 to $250 million for police services and fire and other things. But within that $750 million, we are also going to be asking the voters to approve new community centers, senior centers, youth centers. We have a community center in my district that is the Chinese American Senior Community Center. There is no logical reason why the city can't build a center for the GLBT community.
Well, logic is one thing, because what you're saying, I'm actually rather impressed with the fact that the efforts are going to include GLBT Community Center, just matter-of-factly with all the others, but logically that makes a lot of sense to a lot of people, but emotionally there will be a lot of people in the community that have very strong feelings against something like this. What are you running up against with that within the city council and outside it?
I know that I will have support on the city council from at least 5 members.
How many are on the city council?
There are 9 total, 8 city council members and then, of course, the mayor, so a total of 9. I know that we have supporters on the city council who believe, like I do, that it is way past due for a GLBT community center, number one. And number two, that this is an appropriate way to fund it. Again, historically, we've done it for other groups, organizations, and communities. This is the way to get it done. And I'll give an example. Boys and Girls Clubs. We build facilities that the Boys and Girls Clubs then operate. We build community centers for nonprofit organizations to operate. This is no different. So John and Rocco, what they're doing, and other members of the community, they're going to be creating a nonprofit organization which would actually run the facility. So the city puts in the construction dollars, the capital funding that's needed to build a structure or buy an existing structure, and then basically signs it over on a long-term lease to the nonprofit who will operate it long-term.
Wow, so actually there won't be the issue of where they're going to come up with the money to have the physical building, and it'll just be about continuing to raise the money for the functioning and operation.
That's right.
Correct?
That's right. Now, what we have done in the past, what the city has done in the past, is to ask the nonprofit to actually match to a certain degree the amount of public dollars that are being invested. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if the city is able to put $1.5 million, and I'm just using that number just as an example, if the city puts in $1.5 million, the city would ask the GLBT community to step up and actually, if not match dollar for dollar, at least put in a certain percentage to be able to match that. And that's fair. That's what we do for, again, a variety of other nonprofits and community organizations.
Mm-hmm. What I'm really hearing and that I'm really impressed with is, again, in like what Rocco said, in the political environment that we're in today, where people are making such issues and separating out GLBT and demonizing it in so many ways, that the city council in Phoenix is actually being very inclusive and treating GLBT community and the center as if it was any other constituency within the city, which I'm very impressed with. I really commend you guys for that.
And, of course, that's exactly what it is.
I agree totally. Rocco, and if John's on, you may want to answer this also. how are you finding in terms, I know in reading some of the materials that there, that Phoenix has like over 30 gay bars and other services around. What kind of support, how many people are coming on board, has money already been raised, what's going on there in terms of that kind of support?
As far as the money goes, John and I started doing an initial sort of fundraising, having some meetings regarding that, and we have a volunteer actually from the community who does professional fundraising for a living and who's going to be on board to help us out with that. As far as like the community goes, like I said before, we've gotten a tremendous amount of support. I believe that on our mailing list, just people who have contacted. Who've contacted us, it's been, I think, about 300 people who've said, you know what, we really think this is great, we think it's great what you're doing, we want to get on board somehow, and, you know, a lot of those people have offered up some sort of funding. You know, it's not like millions of dollars, but it's actually, you know, it's little bit by little bit, but we've been thinking about, we've contacted a few people to do certain fundraising dinners and et cetera, just sort of those events.
So it's more about, right now, seed money in order to get the 501c3 and all those other things together.
Yeah, exactly. Because right now, that paperwork is going to be in progress, and we have that all going right now. But a lot of that is, like you just said, it's some of the fee money for that, and it's also some kind of like, for lack of a better word, marketing money to get sort of awareness. So we have people, as you guys know, we're throwing this event called the One Voice Gala, and that gala is to support the gay and lesbian community and bring 170 different groups and organizations in the Valley together for one night to present the community center to them. And we're going to have key speakers, including Tom there, to talk about the benefits of a community center and what it's going to mean for us as a community within Phoenix to have that center here. And basically, to have the unity, the awareness, and relatedness for the night, and that sort of like, so we've been kind of focusing on that event right now, and I guess the funding and then whatnot for that, which has been actually a really big success so far.
Yeah, the donations have been overwhelming from the community in helping us put this One Voice Gala together.
Uh huh.
With a budget of zero, we're throwing a major event for about 150 people.
Well, one of the things I'm really amazed in and actually rather impressed with is the fact that this is a gala, but it's not necessarily a fundraiser. To attend this event is free of charge, from what I understand.
That's correct.
And basically, this is your way of saying, please come and hear what we're trying to do here and see how you can support us in the future without charging for the tickets right now. I think that's very smart of you guys to do that.
It's basically also just to say, here's the community center, and this is how, you know, you can be part of that as it gets off the ground, rather than suddenly there's a community center, and people are saying, well, how can I get involved, or where did this come from, or what is it going to do? That way, people, you know, the groups are all involved from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that this is not just community support organizations, but also business organizations like the Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce, things like that.
Yes.
Excellent. I'm a member of that myself, actually. John, was that your voice I was hearing?
Yes, it was.
Oh, good.
I finally got
on the show.
Thanks.
Tell me, I let Rocco and Tom talk a little bit about why they got involved in this. Could you share a little bit of your own story and what's the motivation for you behind this?
Well, I moved here from New York City about 5 years ago, and when I moved here, I was sort of, you know, for a city this size, not to have a real gay identity, I was sort of shocked. And then late last year, I started looking for some services and realized that there was a lack of a central focal point for the gay and lesbian community in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
So it prompted me to write a letter to Echo and challenge the gay and lesbian community, you know, that we need a community center, and I'd be willing to, you know, put up some money and put up my time and efforts. And, you know, because we do need a community center. We need an identity. Like, if we can support 30-plus gay bars, there's no reason why we can't support a community center,
mm-hmm.
especially in a city this size.
Okay. Now, this question goes out to all three of you, actually, because I think, you know, from a psychologist's point of view, from a therapist's point of view, in a sense, whether I'm doing individual counseling or couples counseling or family counseling, it's always about relationships, okay? Whether it's an individual in my office, most of the work we're doing is actually about relationships, past relationships, current relationships, their projection into future relationships. So if I pretend for a minute that this One Voice Center is a client in my office and it's talking about relationships, what you're talking about is bringing together under one roof and under, as you say, one voice, a myriad of groups within the GLBT umbrella, which is cultural and racial, whether it's Latino, white, Native American, Asian, whether it's the youth, whether it is, senior gays. I mean, you know, let's face it, Phoenix is a big retirement area, and I would think that you have a larger contingent of even gay and lesbian individuals that are retiring to Phoenix.
Yes.
How are you... It's like almost impossible to say you speak one voice for all of these groups. How are you addressing the diversity within the Phoenix area and what the myriad of needs are going to be?
Well, the community center is not going to replace any organization that exists out there that addresses, you know, those any specific needs for any organization. Really, it's going to be the umbrella for all of those organizations. And the focal point where people who move to the city, whether they be young or old, can go to that center and find out what services are available to the gay and lesbian community. We all share a common thread, being GLBT or, you know, a supporter of the GLBT community.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, there's no real – I mean, diversity is our strength.
Right. I agree with that, too. If there is a center, like Tom was talking about, actually helping to create a physical entity and not just something on paper, and that physical entity would actually be a building or a group or some kind of complex that will house, are you offering office space to a lot of these other organizations? Are you, you know, what kind of services are you looking to provide?
Well, that's one of the reasons for a community center. The 170 organizations in Phoenix have the need for space at one or two times during the month.
Mm-hmm.
So they rent from different organizations, churches. This facility would act as a, you know, would have a lot of different meeting rooms. We've done some, you know, initial requirements gatherings kind of for what types of rooms and spaces that these different organizations need, and that's where all the groups will hold their meetings, hopefully. I mean, that's what our intention is.
Well, you're at least offering that option.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we're also going to hopefully offer the option of having them be able to actually rent a space if a larger group needs, you know, their lease is running out, and one of our questions is, who are you renting to? If that is a possibility that they could rent from the community center from that building.
Great.
Right. If they're paying rents to other landlords, why not pay it to the community center?
Right.
And like I said, other organizations have a need for one night a month or two nights a month, and they pay $75 or $100 for a meeting space. Again, why not have it at the community center?
Right.
There is a big demand for meeting spaces, too, as
we encounter. In terms of the city, or actually, just speak personally. What are your hopes for this center in terms of the services, in terms of what it will be providing?
To me, it's a permanent home for the GLBT community, and what I hope will be Central Phoenix, which to me is the GLBT community of Phoenix.
Speak a little louder, Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry. To me, it reflects simply a permanent home for the GLBT community, all aspects of the community. Or at least the invitation and the doors are open to all aspects of our community.
Mm-hmm.
That is what this would represent. It shows we're a permanent community. We're not going away based upon political whims of a few. Mm-hmm. But we are here, and we are in this community. And we've been acknowledged by the community at large that we do belong here and are welcomed here. That's what a large city should be saying to its diverse population.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very significant. The message that it sends alone is significant.
Yes, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. In what sense?
Again, that we are welcome, we're not going away, we are here to stay, and that the city acknowledges and more than acknowledges, but has given the community a home, a physical home.
Are you getting any feedback from people outside the Phoenix area, like other governments, like Tucson or any of the other smaller cities around Phoenix?
No, not that I've heard. But quite frankly, my guess is a lot of folks don't know what is going on. Folks outside of the gay, lesbian, you know, the GLBT community probably aren't aware that this momentum has built over the past 6 months, thanks to John and Rocco.
Mm-hmm.
And
I must say, I would assume thanks to you and your efforts, too. I mean, you had a very nice booth at the Gay and Lesbian Festival.
Oh, well, we had a good turnout, and it was amazing. We have hundreds, just like John and Rocco said, I had hundreds of people sign a petition saying they supported not only a community center, but city funding to actually build the center itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's incredible. Great turnout.
That's terrific. And I mean, you guys know that I actually live in Los Angeles, and L.A. is home to the, actually, from what I understand, the world's largest and oldest gay and lesbian community center, which was established back in the 70s when it just wasn't the thing to do. And I've actually had as guests in the past on my show two of the organizers back in the 70s, Don Kilhefner and Laleen Fifield. Now, Laleen is a psychologist, actually a clinical social worker, and her job back then was actually to pool the mental health community together to provide services. If you can imagine back in the 70s, and I've done a couple of shows on the generational differences of coming out in the gay and lesbian community. Back in the 70s, she said she got about 20 or 30 therapists to show up at an initial meeting to tell them about this, but the one requirement they put out there was that any of the therapists that would take sliding scale referrals from the mental health department had to be out themselves if they're gay or lesbian, and 20 of them dropped out because they weren't prepared to do that. Now, I know we have a very different emotional, cultural, and political environment today where, I mean, there are a lot of therapists and other people who are actually advertising to the GLBT community. What is going to be, or what's your intention or desire in terms of the focus for mental health services, if I can be a little bit...
Well, we've actually had a couple of counselors come up to us already and ask if we would be renting retail space for them to hold counseling sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So the counselors do see a need to have that, and Rocco and I bantered about having different support groups, maybe that are held at different locations, peer support groups being held there.
Mm-hmm. Well, the center here in L.A. actually has a budget of like $35 million, and they actually have an in-house mental health department. So they have a staff, they use interns, they use licensed therapists, and they're actually hired by the center. Now, the difference between the Long Beach Center is they don't have that kind of budget, so what they do is they have a pool of therapists in the community that have identified as being willing to take either non-pay or low-pay referrals of people who are looking for help in that area. So they work on a more voluntary basis. And, you know, to me, there's a vast difference. If you go all over the country and check out different centers, they all find different combinations of how to provide. You know, like I said, I'm biased towards the mental health stuff, so, you know, it's what I can talk about. I would think that that Phoenix has a tremendous amount of gay and lesbian friendly as well as gay and lesbian therapists there. So how are you reaching out to them, or are you even at that stage yet of getting that specific with the services?
At this point, we're really not at that stage. I mean, we have talked about it, but really at this point, we're trying to just gather, garner support from the 170-plus gay organizations in Phoenix. And, we're trying to get the word out through we have a PR guy who is actually getting our stuff published in some of the, more mainstream-type publications. So eventually, we would like to grow into an L.A. community center.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beginning, I don't really see that happening.
Yeah, it's definitely a consideration for down the road.
Rocco?
Mm-hmm.
Is that you?
Yeah.
Say that again?
Oh, I said it's definitely the mental health aspect of it is definitely – we've talked about it, and we it's definitely a consideration for down the road, or maybe in the near future as part of that. But like John said, it's so in its infancy right now. We just haven't really had the time to sort of put all these pieces together.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything that I can do in terms specifically of the mental health stuff, and anytime you want to use the visibility of this show, just know that you have my support for that.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Tom, I want to ask you also, in terms of the diversity of the community, what is the city's outreach policy in terms of, say, the Native American community? Are there groups within Phoenix that deal with the GLBT Native American population?
There, short answer, I don't know precisely what programs there are, but I will tell you this, that in here in Arizona, the services that the city provides are often quite different than what, for example, the county would provide.
Mm-hmm.
The city provides assistance, financial assistance, primarily with housing, for example. Maricopa County provides assistance when it comes to mental health issues. So the goal is to combine the programs, and the ideal situation, exactly what you're talking about, would be to combine a variety of these programs and different varieties of assistance under one roof, so that if you are from a particular community, but also a member of the GLBT community, you would know where to go. And I think that's been part of the struggle. There are there may be a help line here. There may be a library way over here. There's no center, no central location where somebody can actually get one-stop shop assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will go a long way towards a lot of our communities, including the Native American community.
Right.
Right.
And I want to add something to that. There is a group in Phoenix which is called Native Out, which is the largest American Indian gay and lesbian group in Phoenix. And they are very eager for this to happen and to be part of it. They've approached us already, and I've talked with them on the phone, and we met them at Gay Pride, and they're very interested in being part of the community center here in Phoenix.
That's excellent. Now, also, I mean, I just want to get a little bit more in terms of the diversity issue. Phoenix also has a large Latino, community, and in terms of, legal as well as illegal aliens coming through the border and things like that, how are you doing outreach to that population? What's your intentions on that?
Again, in the 170-plus organizations that cater to gay and lesbians in the Phoenix area, there are groups specifically for Hispanic women, Hispanic men, Mexican, groups, and they are all invited to the One Voice Gala. I'm not sure if all of them have accepted, but they are aware, and of course they're welcome, and we want them to join.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I'm going to ask this question of all three of you, actually, because we're coming down to like the last 15 minutes or so of the show here. I want to, if you had a chance, which you do right now because I'm giving it to you, Tom, let's start with you. What would be your plea to the community in terms of the people who may be listening to this show who are not GLBT, who may be wondering why we're doing this or, how they can be involved or why this would be important to non-GLBT in the sense of being a part of the Phoenix community?
Well, to me, you touched upon it, Stuart, when you were talking about mental health. That's just one component. It's youth, our seniors. We really haven't touched a whole lot upon our senior population.
Mm-hmm.
But we have so many different components of our community, the gay, lesbian community, as well as the at-large community, that this sort of center, all different folks from all different walks of life can gravitate towards this center for answers. Let's take one, for example, PFLAG. You're a parent, your child has come out to you, and you don't know where to turn because you have questions. Your child doesn't know where to turn because he or she may have questions.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of value that a GLBT community center brings to the community. So just like how the city already has senior centers and youth centers, this is yet another component that provides to the overall health and well-being of the city. And in mind that although we are hopefully building this in Central Phoenix, we know we have another, 25 to 30 suburbs that also will be using this center.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine how many kids are in the suburbs who don't know who to call or where to go. Or if you're a senior and you've moved here to the Valley, you don't know where to go. This is the opportunity, whether you're a member of the GLBT community or not, this is the one opportunity we have to truly show that we are a community of diversity, meaning Phoenix and the surrounding suburbs, and that we are committed to that diversity, and we're committed to the well-being of our residents. So that would be my message to not only members of our community, but members of outside of our community.
Mm-hmm. John Rocco, you have a comment on that also in terms of what you want to say to the people who are not part of the GLBT community, but just part of the greater Phoenix community?
I think in a lot of ways, just speaking to that, that I believe it's definitely, we as a community are not, we can't afford to be marginalized. We can't afford to be thinking of ourselves as a completely separate entity within the greater community. We are an integral part of the main community, and I think that the community center itself is going to help strengthen that sort of connection that we do have with mainstream community and the general community. I think that for too long we sort of think that, you know, we're so different and there is this marginalization that we do, but I think that this community center definitely will help to strengthen the bond that we have within our own community as well as strengthen those bonds outside of the community in some of the ways that Tom was talking about too.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I've always used the word ghettoization when it comes to the gay and lesbian community. You look at most cities and there's usually a section, and there are certain people that will only live in that, like in the LA area, of course, it's West Hollywood, you know, San Francisco, maybe the Castro, but my experience of Phoenix is that it's such a spread out community that that geographically and demographically, I would think that the gay and lesbian community is pretty well spread out. I know at the Chamber of Commerce booth at the Gay and Lesbian Festival, they had this map and people would come over and put a pin where they live because they wanted to see how spread out. And it was amazing that there was a certain grouping in different areas around Phoenix, but those pins were actually so spread out well into the rural areas around Phoenix as well as within the valley that there is a real sense of geographic disbursement of the gay and lesbian community. And I really think that you know, this would be an incredible way for people to know that there is a place to go at times, not just for services, but let's talk about the social aspects of what the center is going to be about.
And that's a great point, because I do think that the community center will be the anchor for the new gay ghetto. Maybe it'll revitalize the area that we're put in and bring new shops and cafes, and again, catering towards the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and their allies. So I think it's really important, like you said, because we are so spread out. And that was one of my things when I moved here 5 years ago, is that there was no gay ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having a permanent community center will give people that anchor.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I want to live, and this is, you know, I'm going to, you know, fix up this neighborhood. I'm going to buy this shop. I'm going to open up a business here because I'll be supported.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason why it's, you know, going to be such a great thing for the Phoenix community.
Stuart,
well, I tell you something. When I talk about gay ghetto, I mean, there are positive aspects about that in my mind, and there are negative aspects about it because, you know, ghettoizing any group very often – what Rocco was saying before about the feeling of being separate within the greater society, it has the possibility of reinforcing that even more. And I think there's such a thing as a mental ghettoizing, where people in their minds keep themselves separate, even if they're living in outlying areas. And so I totally agree with you that it could be great to have a general area that attracts gay and non-gay you know, individuals to the shops and the restaurants and things like that, and brings everything together without the consciousness of separation. Because I think what a center like this can really do like Tom was clearly saying before, is giving everyone the message that this is a group within the society that is empowered and is a contributing factor to the city as a whole and needs to be honored and acknowledged and supported as such. So this, the whole idea of ghettoizing, you know, can be positive, can be negative, and I just think it's an important thing to kind of keep in the back of our minds as we're doing things like this center. What are your thoughts on that, anyway?
I agree with you, Stuart, clearly, since you referenced what I had said, but I really agree with you because I think we also need to look at the other major cities across America and realize that their gay and lesbian communities truly were created in an era when we didn't have a whole lot of acceptance, mm-hmm. and they reflect that era.
Right.
Whereas Phoenix has grown so large, so fast, so recently, our community truly reflects the nature of Phoenix and mm-hmm. probably a more contemporary urban setting than some of the other cities. Mm-hmm. So having said that, and knowing that so many members of the GLBT community have moved here within the past just several years, we're kind of a grand experiment. We have an opportunity to put a whole new face on a GLBT community, mm-hmm. not to mention the community center. We
right.
have an opportunity not to marginalize our community, but instead expand our horizons and be a part of the overall community, which
yeah.
to me is better for everybody.
I totally agree. And you also have the advantage of having newcomers to the Phoenix area who bring ideas from their other locations, you know,
yes.
what's worked and what's not worked. And I don't believe there's a cookie-cutter approach to something like this, like anything culturally. I mean, the differences need to be honored and supported because Phoenix has its own unique demographics and its own unique needs, separate from others, but to be able to draw on the experience of others that everybody who's recently moved there is bringing is one of the things I really like about what you're doing with the gala. It's a chance for people to hear what your intentions are and offer their own expertise and their own perspective on the use of a center like this. So tell the people again, either John or Rocco, what about the gala that's coming up, and it's this coming Thursday night, is it?
Yep,
yes.
Where and when, and if someone wants to attend that hasn't been officially invited, is that open to anyone?
Our focus so far has been on basically the 170 groups, the 170 different GLBT organizations. Basically, their board members and executive directors, as well as some of the other groups in the Valley and that support GLBT issues. It's not like a general public sort of event. It's more. We want it to be a productive event where there's going to be a lot of good feedback and whatnot, and not to get too out of control. But it's definitely for a more of a specific group of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've tried to target the leaders of these groups so that they can bring their group's issues to us, mm-hmm. and then bring back to their groups what we've talked about,
mm-hmm.
and really get and the big. The big reason for the event is to get buy-in and to get approval and to get, you know, people to really get involved and get really psyched about having a community center.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think Rocco said earlier, we don't want to throw up a building and say, hey, look at, you know, now we've got a community center, come be involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our idea is to get them involved very early on, get them excited, and that way when the community center opens, it's really a used building. And it's well known.
Well, the key word there is community. So
yeah.
if it's just a group of people putting together what they think needs to be done without involving the community in the planning process and, you know, expressing the needs and even in the organizational board members or fundraising and things like that, then it's not a community center. So I really get what you're doing here in terms of actually inviting the diversity of the community together next Thursday for this event. So, again, I just want my listeners to know that this is in the process, that how can people reach you? Let's start with John and Rocco. If they have some input they want to give or want to keep track of the progress on this, or maybe even help with fundraising, getting on committees, things like that, how can people get in touch with you? I know you have a website for the gala. Can you tell them what how they can reach you?
Yeah, through the website they can contact us.
Which is?
Which is info at, well, it's www.phoenixcommunitycenter.org. Mm-hmm. And there's a contact us email link on that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've, like I think Rocco mentioned earlier, we have over 300 people that have responded just from the articles in the newspapers wanted to get involved. The more the merrier. We definitely want a lot of input from a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody wants to get involved, that's the way they can get involved.
Excellent. How about you, Tom? If somebody wants to give some input in terms of, you know, your efforts on the government level or have any other questions for you, how do they reach you?
Well, and I'm really glad you asked us this because I need volunteers to serve on the Phoenix Bond Committee because that's where these decisions ultimately are, well, not ultimately, but are very vital. We have a subcommittee structure and an executive committee structure, and the subcommittees will be prioritizing the items in the next bond election. So I am constantly asking for our friends and supporters to please contact my office so that I can nominate them to serve on the subcommittee where they can evaluate this and make sure that a GLBT community center receives high marks and is considered a high priority.
Great. How do they reach you?
They reach me at area code 602-262-7447, or they can contact me at www.phoenix.gov and click on Tom Simplot or District 4.
Now, I'll also remind my listeners that if you didn't get any of that down or you forget it, a very easy way of getting in touch with my guest today would be to go to my website, tellthetruthfaster.com. If you want to hear this broadcast again at any time in about a week or so, the show will be up on the archives, and you guys can use it for promotional stuff if you need to by sending people to the site. And you can get the links to John Quinn, Rocco, am I pronouncing right, Meneguali?
That's right.
Oh, I got it. Or Councilman Simplot, and you can get the links to their phone numbers there. All that information is right on the website, tellthetruthfaster.com. And I remind all my listeners that if there's any shows in the past, if you see some topics that look interesting to you that you missed the show, the archives contain every show I've done for the last 3 years, and it's free of charge. I'm still able to do that. And I do ask you also, if you are listening to a show and there's any technical difficulties with the archive file itself, please let me know so I can fix it right away. So with all that being said, I really want to thank the three of you tremendously. I would assume also that in addition to the bonds and stuff, that your fundraiser will be looking towards grants also. So if there's anybody out there that knows of any funding sources for this, whether it's a private foundation or public foundations or individuals, that you get in touch with any one of the three men, whether it's Tom, Rocco, or John, to let them know that you know of some funding sources for this, because like Tom said, there's going to be a certain level of matching funds needed for this, and if you want to make even a personal donation to get it going, you can reach Rocco or John and you know, find out where you can send those donations. And you don't yet have your nonprofit status, is that correct?
That's correct. But the Arizona Human Rights Fund has agreed to be our financial intermediary to accept donations.
They're the umbrella in the meantime until you get your own.
Correct. So people can still make tax deductible donations via ARF,
okay.
The Arizona Human Rights Fund.
Now, just to give you a little bit more history, I mentioned the name Lillian Fifield earlier, a friend of mine here in Los Angeles, who was one of the original organizers for the center back in the 70s here in L.A. She was also, I think, from what I understand historically, the first individual that actually filed a application for funding for a grant from the government on behalf of a gay or lesbian needs back in the 70s.
And wow.
It was the first one that actually got that funding. So I know that I'm speaking for a lot of people who have been involved in this here in Long Beach as well as L.A., that if there's any support that you need, any guidance on any of this stuff. You have brothers and sisters in other cities that I know would be more than glad to lend their expertise, consulting, including me, along this, because a lot of us know how important this really is for any community.
And Rocco and I actually just discussed that we're going to start contacting those community centers and, you know, picking their brains so we don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Well, I can give you the names and numbers and open those doors here in L.A. for
That would
you.
Be great.
Yeah,
that would
be great,
because
we would really love to have, like,
okay.
some partnerships with those other cities as well.
Great. So, again, Rocco, John, Tom, I really want to thank you for taking the time today to, speak out for something that I know all of you believe strongly in, and I really support your efforts in any way that I can. And I know this 1 hour is just a small way that I've been able to contribute to your efforts, and I'm really impressed with what you're doing already. So thank you for being on the show today.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Now, I also want to thank my first and new sponsor before we get off the air. I can't keep this show on the air if it's not for funding and sponsorships also, and I want to welcome, again, as I've done for the last few weeks, my first sponsor, Charles King, with the Rainbow Professional Services. He has a mobile notary services company where he can come to you to notarize all sorts of documents by appointment. So we know what a struggle people have gone through over the last few months with this Terry Schiavo thing, and that living wills and durable power of attorneys for medical purposes have been like one of the top five hits and searches on Microsoft MSN for a couple of months now because of the Terry Schiavo thing. So all of you out there that know the importance of protecting yourself, especially within the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community, where the legal backing is not there yet for your partners to have a say in this, you really need to have these papers signed, notarized, and in place case, God forbid, anything should happen to you. And Charles King with the Rainbow Mobile Notary Services is one way to do it easily and quickly. And you can reach Charles King at the Rainbow Mobile Notary Services at 480-452-0325. That's 480-452-0325. Or you can go to his website, which is www.rainbowprof.com. RainbowProfessionals.com, RainbowProf, P-R-O-F.com. I want to thank Charles for the support he's given me for the show, and anyone else out there that's looking to do some radio advertising and want to support the efforts that I have dealing with mental health issues within or outside the GLBT community, I really would appreciate that help and effort along the way. So, this is Stuart Altshuler, and Tell the Truth Faster. On KXAM, 1310 AM in Phoenix, I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank again my guest, Tom Simplot, Councilman in Phoenix, and Rocco Meneguali and John Quinn for their efforts in getting this center together and taking the time today on the show. Thank you all for being here, and thank you all for listening. And I'll be back again next week, actually, with Steve May, a former Arizona state legislator. Will be my guest on the show, so listen in next week also. This is Stuart Altshuler wishing you all a great weekend.